Today's passage comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It's one verse, so why don't we all read together? If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So with the sermon title, Shalom, peace be with you, I would like to share God's word with you. This time as we begin, why don't we greet each other one more time and say Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We're so thankful for everything that God has done for us. There's so many things to be thankful for, but just as Elder Kwan prayed, we're so thankful for God for saving us. And I think Elder Kwan's prayer gave us a great preview of today's message. As we look back this year, there were many tragic news as we mourn together as a family, as a nation. We have lost many loved ones. Some people may have lost their jobs and earthly possession. And there's so many things that we may have lost, and maybe we're still mourning. And it's really maybe really hard for some of the people to find peace during this Thanksgiving season. So I figured I thought about praying about peace this Thanksgiving Sunday. So many people, family, organization, and countries are trying very hard and spend hundreds and thousands and billions of dollars in searching for peace. Christians are not exempt from this turmoil of a sinful world. We also experience the anxiety of turbulent situation and the suffering of broken relationships. But despite the situation, peace could be a trademark of the godly person because it is a godlike trait. Today's verse is actually the part of the passage that talks about the marks of the true Christian. God is called the God of peace many times in the New Testament. He took the initiative to establish peace with rebellious sinful men by sending Jesus to us. So he is the author of personal peace as well as peace among men. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, among many things to be thankful for, we must be thankful for God establishing the peace with us through Jesus Christ. So peace should be part of our character because this is what God has done and this is what God has promised us. Because he has commanded us to let peace rule in our lives and relationship, and because peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you take a close look at today's scripture, it reveals that peace is actually threefold. Peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with other people. They are not unrelated types of peace, but they are three different expressions of one peace, the peace that God gives, which is called the fruit of the Spirit, that complement and reinforce one another, producing an overall character trait. So I'd like to take a look at this passage with threefold. First is peace with God. The basis of our peace with God is our justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the point at which all peace begins. We cannot have peace within or peace with other people until we first have peace with God. Prior to our salvation, because we were born in sin, our relationship with God was broken. So we were objects of his wrath and in a state of rebellious against him. So we did not have peace with God because, as Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace for the wicked. But everything changed when we entered a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell,
to reconcile to to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So instead of being opposed to us, God is now on our side and promises that he will work in our lives for our good. As Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. He even promises to make our enemies live at peace with us. As Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Therefore, peace with God is the foundation of peace within ourselves and peace with other people. Today, many people, multitudes of God's people, know nothing of this rest in Christ. As they read the awful reports in the daily news, reports of tragedies, calamities, death, they're filled with fear and dread. Their constant prayer is, oh God, please don't take one of my loved ones. I could never handle the grief. Yet, if you're at rest in the Lord, you won't succumb to such fear. You won't panic or fall apart when you are hit by some unexpected crisis. And you won't lose hope, accusing God of bringing on your troubles. Yes, you will endure the pain that's common to every human being, but you will be at rest in your soul because you know that God is in control of everything concerning you. Yes, the Lord doesn't want victory for us as a merely a one-time experience. His goal isn't for us to emerge from a crisis and saying, thank God I kept my faith through that. Well, yes, you may have made it through that one, but like victorious Israel at the Red Sea, another trial will eventually come. And it may be a different kind of test altogether. Living in God's rest is a way of life. He wants us to be maintained by his peace and confidence in all of our trials, knowing our high priest is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But this foundation does not guarantee that these other aspects of peace occur automatically. So we must pursue and practice what makes for peace and independence upon the Holy Spirit. And this leads to the second aspect of peace. Second is personal peace, peace within ourselves. Even though a Christian has experienced peace with God, there are certain barriers that disturb us to experience the peace of God. Sometimes it can be big, sometimes it can be small. Death or illness of our beloved ones, or people who's always getting on our nerves. But the more tough events in our lives usually force us to turn to the Lord with all of our hearts. And when we do so, we get to experience his grace and peace. But the more ordinary unhappiness in our lives seals our peace because we have a tendency to try to deal with these events by ourselves. So we worry, we envy other people, and we try to find solution from other people. This is why we don't experience true God's grace and peace. Jesus said to his disciples, John 16:33, that I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this assurance of peace, Jesus made two promises. His first promise was that we will have trouble in the world. The same circumstances that rob us of our joy also rob us of our peace. But the common denominator of all these circumstances is uncertainty. For example, a loved one is ill, and the diagnosis is uncertain. Try to change my career, but will I succeed? Is this what I really want to do? I have a test. Will I get a good grade? What if I fail? There are countless other circumstances continue to prove that Jesus was indeed correct when he promised that we will have trouble in the world. But what kind of promise is this? The world will give me trouble? He didn't have to make that kind of promise, right? But right after this promise, he said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This world will give us trouble, but God has overcome this world so that nothing will happen without his approval. He knows what's happening in this world and what's happening to you. This is the belief that we believe. We believe in the sovereignty of God. You know, when we as a Christian, we believe that when we believe in Jesus, everything will be peaceful. There will be no sadness, no issues, no problems in our lives. But God never promised that. God never said, you will never have trouble. God never said, you will always live with any issues or problem in your life. He never promised that. He never said that. He said, there will be a problem. But what he said is, in the midst of that problem, in the midst of that issue, I am with you. I will be with you. That is the promise that he made with us. So if that's his promise, everything will happen under his sovereignty. Ephesians 1:22 proves this. It says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. What this means is that Jesus has been appointed head over everything on behalf of the church. He has power over all the universe, and he exercises it on our behalf and for our good. In Matthew 10:29-30, Jesus tells us that not even a sparrow can fall to the ground apart from the will of our Father, and even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. You know, we have this promise. It's in the Bible. This is what God promised us. But why do we worry? We worry because we don't believe. We say we believe, but maybe like, kind of. We are not 100% convinced that God knows what's best for you. So Philippians 4:6-7 tells us what to do. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. The great medicine to anxiety is to come to God in prayer. We are to pray about everything. Nothing is too big for him to handle, and nothing is too small to escape his attention. So when you feel anxious, stressed, or uncertain about something, kneel down before God in prayer. If you can't do anything, if you don't know what to do, then it's time for you to seek God only, although we have to seek him every moment in our lives. When you think you can't do something, that is the time when God can do something. But I understand that sometimes it's hard for you to pray. It's hard because you're so busy, exhausted, hurt, or maybe your faith weakened. You know, that's why I'm here as your pastor. And that's why your faithful friends, elders, faithful community is here. So we can pray for you. So we can pray together. So come to God in prayer with thanksgiving and be thankful for faithful friends, faithful spouses if they're sitting next to you. So I want you to, look around and say thank you. Just say thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you may not notice, but this is a blessing. Having this faithful community who can worship together, who can pray together, who can share our lives together. So let's just say, one more time. Let's thank God. Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, God, for giving us. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving us, a wonderful pastor like me. And and a wonderful elder like Elder Kwan, and your faithful friends and your spouses, your children. This is great. This is so much things to be thankful for. So we must always be thankful. We should thank him for his past faithfulness in delivering us from troubles, because remembrance of past mercies is great stimulus to present faith. God put Israelites into wilderness because they forgot about God's past faithfulness. Israelites lived under God's love and grace, but they were not thankful for what they have received. So Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. God is telling the Israelites to remember. Remember what? The grace, the love, and blessing they have received when they escaped the Egypt. So we must thank him for the fact that he is in control of every circumstance of our lives, and nothing can touch us that he does not allow. So we should thank him that in his infinite wisdom, he is able to work in this circumstance for our good, and that because of his love, he would not have allowed it if it were not for our good. The result promised to us when we come to God in prayer with thanksgiving is not an immediate solution to the problems, but the peace of God. One of the reasons we don't find this peace is because all too often, we only focus on the problem. We do not want to accept anything other than the solution to the problem. But God, through Paul, promises us peace. A peace that is unexplainable. If you look at Philippians chapter 4:7, it says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we have to look to the Holy Spirit to bring you that peace. So your responsibility is to come in prayer, asking for the peace, and looking to him for it. Oftentimes, we try to find peace in God by casting our anxieties to God. But when the hard time comes, one of the thoughts that often enter our minds is, if God really loved me, he would not have allowed this to happen to me. Or if God loved me, he would provide a way out of this tiring situation. When this kind of thoughts comes to your mind, we have to remember that such thoughts is not from the Holy Spirit. Such thoughts is from the devil. The devils are looking around to devour those who doubt and complain, to seep in such thoughts to make us not trust God and make us apart from God. So when we have a lack of peace within ourselves, take our anxieties to God in thankful prayer and resist the devil. When we experience the peace with God and peace within ourselves, we are now able to deal with the third aspect of peace, a peace with other people. Because inner conflict often results in conflict with others, and we all experience this. And when we are frustrated, stressed, or anxious, we tend to be very sensitive and overreactive and say something that we should not have said. So we must